Welcome back to season two of our All Rise Sports Talk Show podcast. I'm here with Ethan. My name is Brady. Season two, let's get it. We'll be talking about the NBA restart, also the top 10 of the top 100 for NFL, and also what has been going on in the MLB. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Ethan, if you want to say anything before we get started.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm happy. I'm hyped about season two. Let's get into it.
Yes, sir. Let's go. All right. So we're still right into it. NBA restart. Now that we've gotten a couple games to watch under our belt for each team, I'm just going to pass it off to you and see what's your biggest, like, main biggest thoughts or something on that.
Yeah. So, My big things, obviously, you got to talk about the Lakers. When it comes to the NBA right now, you got to talk about the Lakers. They're the team that everybody's kind of been crazy about this season, and they're the clear favorites. For me, they're still clear favorites, even though these last three games, they have looked a little sluggish out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't looked like the championship-caliber team that we've been seeing from them all throughout this season. AD is really pulling his weight right now.
Yeah, for real.
In the last two games, he scored over 30 points and has been just deadly from three-point, which it's insane. But LeBron, a lot of people are looking at it like, well, LeBron is not really doing all that well. But since coming out, he only has a high of 22 points. I think he scored 17 against the Clippers, 20 against the Raptors, and 22 against the Jazz last night. But overall, one thing I'm seeing from LeBron is he's more of getting the ball at the top of the key, and then he's just sitting there taking a minute to admire the defense, and then he's passing it to someone else, to where we're usually accustomed to LeBron getting the ball at the top of the key, looking around, going, all right, I'm going to take this to the hole, and just boom, there he goes. And that's what makes him such an efficient scorer, because he's either going to get the points or he's going to go to the line. That's what makes him so dominant. And not to mention, he's doing great from three-point right now. He's shooting pretty well. He shot 56% last night in field goals. They played the Clippers, who are the second best team in the West. In my opinion, they're the fourth best team in the NBA, right? So they played a really good team. Everybody has said, you know, the Clippers are going to be the only team that can challenge the Lakers. They beat them. The Lakers played some amazing defense down the stretch of that game. If you go and watch, LeBron played some of the best defense you'll see from him ever. And really locked down that final possession to get a tough shot from Paul George. And, you know, they weren't able to win the game or even, you know, kind of score when they were down. And then they run into the Raptors. They run into the Raptors in the second game. And it was not really a buzzsaw, but the Raptors, it was definitely the Raptors' night, and it definitely wasn't the Lakers. That team, they shot atrocious. And like I said, with AD pulling his weight, and the Jazz game and the Clippers game, he's played amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Against the Raptors, he didn't play amazing. He really did not have a good night. And when LeBron was your highest scoring player at 20 points, and your bench was shooting terribly, it was honestly atrocious. The bench play from them, you're not going to win those games, especially with a team that's been together as much as the Raptors have. That team has been together for about 3 or 4 years now. They've really gelled. They understand what their grind is, and I'm really surprised by the Raptors, because you would think losing Kawhi in the offseason would have kind of taken them out, but no, they are surging, and you know they know their bread and butter, and they know how to play their game. So the Raptors are a team that has really surprised me. They're 2-0 to start. The Lakers are 2-1. And last night, the Lakers beat the Jazz to clinch the
Western Conference number one seed.
Those are kind of my three big things. Lakers look a little sluggish out of the gate. For me, nothing really to worry about. Raptors hot to start. And Lakers beat the Jazz last night to take the Western Conference.
Yeah. I'm just gonna kind of like bounce off that. So yeah, I think that LeBron is kind of, he was struggling at first, but like you already know, it's not playoffs yet. So playoff LeBron comes in town, I think it's a whole different ball game, and it's going to be very fun to see. I think that he'll be probably with AD or have more points than AD when it comes to that time. I think that he's just kind of like getting back into the rhythm of things, like kind of like a preseason game for the other players. He's just doing it right now when it doesn't really matter for them because they're going to be either the number one or the number two spot. But now they're going to be the number one spot. So it'll be interesting to see how more of a rhythm they're going to get within these next, let's see, is it five games? Yeah, five games left for them. Also, like, as you said, the Raptors, wow, they're looking really solid right now. They're just very disciplined on defense, and that's what, like, it helps them a lot.
Yeah.
But one of my biggest takes on this is, yeah, I know you're going to be a little upset about this, but the Houston Rockets, man.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not saying, like, they're going to do anything because they usually have a very good – time for choking, but like I'm just saying, they're really hot right now, and it's like kind of hard to stop them. But I feel like if they run into a team like the Raptors, I feel like if they have a cold shooting night, it's over. Or even the Lakers. Also think it's going to be interesting down the stretch to see who that ninth spot or the ninth seed in the West will be. Because that is up for grabs right now, and I couldn't tell you who's going to get it or not, because it's kind of just back and forth between, like, pretty much every single team.
Right.
So that will be interesting to see what that comes down to, and we'll see how Giannis does. He's been carrying the loads with Chris Middleton. I think they need to get, like, one more player involved, maybe two more, maybe – Lopez, if they get him involved. They got him involved late during the Raptors game, or the Rockets game, I mean, and he went off because they don't have like a guy that's big enough, which is also their problem for the Rockets. He was just doing whatever he wanted to do in the post and everything. So I feel like the Bucks get going, Lakers get going, playoff LeBron gets going, and we'll see about the Rockets. Also, the Thunder is a pretty good, like, sleeper team as well, that we don't really pay attention to, but I think we should because they are very talented.
Really?
Yeah.
I think the Thunder losing Russell Westbrook was kind of the shot to the heart. Although they have played well, they're a very low seed, which means they're going to get the Clippers or one of these really high teams.
I'm pretty sure that they're like the five seed, right?
No, the Jazz. I think the Jazz are the fourth. Nuggets are three. Who's five? I thought I saw they were seven. I don't really think I'm not too high on OKC. I think they don't really have
they're six.
They're sixth. I don't think they have too much talent on that team. But let's stay with this Western Conference kind of thing here. Who do you think is going to steal those bottom spots? Who do you think is going to be there?
At 9 and 8 and 9?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. that's a good question. I think that Memphis is going to hold that 8 spot,
mm-hmm.
For sure. But the 9th spot between the Blazers, Spurs, and then maybe the Pelicans. I don't know. I think that the Spurs have the more, like, older team, I guess. They're more like, you know, they're just there and it's Pop. So he'll probably get there eventually as well. But, like, the Pelicans, I mean, if they get Zion going like they did last night, they're going to be kind of hard to stop and get to that 9 spot. It'll be interesting to see because they beat the Grizzlies last night as well. So it'll be interesting to see how – and the Pelicans stretch down the stretch, they're their schedule is much easier than everybody else's. So that's one. And then the Trailblazers, as long as they have good shooting every single night, which I've heard that many people say that it's actually easier to shoot in the bubble than in a regular court, because if you like think about it, the depth perception in the bubble is so much easier to see. So I feel like if they get hot, they're going to be like hot for a long time. It's going to be hard to stop them. So we'll see. I think it's going to be very interesting going down the stretch. What are your thoughts?
Right. So I think San Antonio right now is surging. I think everybody kind of counted them out before the whole break. Everybody was like, this will be probably the first time that the San Antonio Spurs won't go to the playoffs. And I don't know how many years it was. Mm-hmm. But you see them coming out. They're surging. They're playing well. So I think them and the Trailblazers are two big ones for number nine. I think you're right with Memphis. I think Memphis is going to hold down that number eight spot, barring anything, you know, traumatic happening to that team. Mm-hmm. But I'm not high on New Orleans. I think they're in trouble. If they don't playing Zion and start cohesively working on the offense, they're not – you're taking your best player other than Brandon Ingram. You're taking your best player and you're not putting him out on the court.
Well, the good thing is
now, you want him to be your franchise player. But this is where it counts right here.
Yeah.
This is where it counts. Because if you don't put him in, you don't have Zion as a threat, which everybody has been talking about up to this point. Zion is probably one of the biggest threats in the NBA. That's what we've heard.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not gonna put him out there, and you're not gonna open that up. It's you know, they need to play him more. I want to see what New Orleans and that coaching staff does from there. But I think San Antonio and the Trailblazers, that'll be an interesting matchup, because San Antonio and the Trailblazers are only two games away. Right, they're right with each other. They're the exact same games behind for that number nine spot, and then New Orleans is 2.5. So New Orleans is there.
I think it'll depend
on their schedule and what happens with New Orleans.
New Orleans schedule is the easiest coming down the stretch right now, and they're also playing. They played Zion, and he had like 23 points last game, so
right. That's
also a big help. So I feel like if they keep getting him into the rhythm and keep getting him back into it like they have been doing, I feel like they could pop off a couple more games, be in that ninth spot. But it would be interesting to see if there's like a tie or anything. I don't know how they're going to do that. If it's a tie, I think they'd probably just go off of who had the best record in the bubble or head-to-head maybe in the bubble. I don't know. But it'll be very interesting to see how this all plays out.
Yeah, over here in the Western Conference, do we think shifting from Western to Eastern, do we think the Eastern Conference is pretty much there's not going to be too much change in there?
Pretty much a lot. That's good. Yeah, it's a lock.
Because I know the Bucks are ahead by like a bunch.
They're ahead by five games, five and a half.
And I think only like six or seven more.
Well, there's only nine teams that made it to the bubble for the West, for the Eastern Conference. And the ninth team is about like 7.5 games behind the eighth team. So I think it's a lock.
Yeah.
For sure.
I
feel like it's more consistent. Like, I don't know. I guess it's more spread out, and then the West is just more like all around good.
Right. So you said you had a dark horse for the Western Conference. Yours was Houston, right?
Yeah. What's yours?
Or OKC.
Houston or OKC.
Right. So my dark horses for the Eastern Conference are, not necessarily these teams will definitely go, but I think if they can gel together and do the right things, Indiana, they're I'm pretty sure they're undefeated up to this point, right?
That's a good question.
The Pacers, because they played the 76ers, and that was the game where
yeah, they are.
Went off. And he scored 53 points. And then the next game came back, scored 30, right?
Yeah, they're undefeated. And Victor
Oladipo, you get Victor Oladipo in there. He's having some knee problems right now. But you get him healthy by the time, because they're already pretty much, they should be fine. They're the fourth
seed. They're the five seed.
Five?
So, yeah, anyway. The Heat is the four seed.
Huh?
The Heat are the four seed.
Right. So they should be fine going into the, to that, you know, they should be fine to get in. And if, of course, if you get TJ Warren, keep his production that he has right now of those big, huge games where he's scoring a lot, and then get Victor Oladipo in there, because Victor Oladipo is a great shooter. I think him in the 2018 playoffs against the Cavs in that first round is one of the most criminally underrated seven-game stretches by any playoff player ever, because he was just impossible to stop. Granted, that Cavs team didn't have too much talent on it. It was just LeBron. But he was insane. So you get him back in. He's been away from basketball for a while. Get him in there. Domantas Sabonis, I know he's injured right now. He's their all-star. But that team could be very good if they get healthy. And if TJ Warren continues to have the same production that he's had to start off the bubble, they could be really good and they could be really scary. And then the other one is Miami. I think Miami has – some of the best young core players in the NBA.
I agree. I think Duncan, that was going to be my dark horse team for the East. I feel like because they are the four and the Pacers are the five. So if they play, they'll be playing in the first round against each other. So whoever comes out of that could be very scary to see. Definitely.
Duncan Robinson is – has proved he's one of the better shooters in the league. He's had some off nights to start, but those early scrimmages, he looked really nice and was shooting very well. And Bam Adebayo is, top five center.
Yeah.
In rebounds.
And you got Jimmy
Butler. Wise, and Jimmy Butler is a solid defensive player and a good scorer. So I would love to see Miami do some more work there.
I agree. All right, you want to get into this next topic, the top 10 of the NFL?
Sure.
100. All right, sweet. So I'll just read off the entire list, 10 through 1, in their order that they were put in by NFL. Number 10, we got Derrick Henry. Number 9, we got Stephon Gilmore. 8, DeAndre Hopkins. 7, George Kittle. 6, Christian McCaffrey. 5, Michael Thomas. 4, Patrick Mahomes. 3, Aaron Donald. 2, Russell Wilson. And 1, Lamar Jackson. So before we even get to our rankings, what do you think about this? Most of it is like okay, but there's just that one kind of glaring.
There's just this problem. One thing that just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. The list is voted on by peers and players. It's not like experts are doing this, okay? Because if this was an experts list, I would be like, oh, I don't really think these guys are experts. because you look at it, Lamar Jackson, one of the most popular players in the NFL, number one. I don't think it's unfair to say he's not a top three player in the league.
Yeah, he is.
I don't think it's unfair to say that. I just think it's unfair to put Patrick Mahomes at the third best player in his position. Come on. Let's think about this logically. The guy who has defied all laws of what is okay as a quarterback to do, and you're going to put him at the third best player at your position, the most exciting player that I have literally ever seen, and he's only played for 2 seasons. That is what gets me, is he's already better than half of the court, than almost literally everyone.
He should be better.
He's only played 2 seasons. He's only played 2 seasons.
I know, I agree. I also think that for Lamar, that was his first year being in the ratings. That was his first year ever being in the ratings. But like Patrick Mahomes, like I'm wondering if they voted on this like during the regular season or like after regular season's over. Because if so, then I would understand this. But like if it was voted on after the Super Bowl, then I have no idea what they were thinking. Because Patrick Mahomes, even though he wasn't the MVP this year, that's probably only because he got hurt. He was putting up some insane numbers in the early season before he got hurt. And don't get me wrong, Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson are very talented quarterbacks, and they're kind of like kind of low-key the same like brand. They like to scramble, run, and they can throw very accurate. So it's kind of just shocking to see that they put Patrick Mahomes down at four. But the rest of this list, like, it's okay. I like it. But just that one part. I also think Christian McCaffrey should be higher.
Pat McAfee actually said something about when they do the 100 list, when the players vote.
Mm-hmm.
They do it the Pro Bowl weekend.
Oh, so that's – what?
So it was just before the Super Bowl.
Well, even still.
Right. After he had those two amazing
comeback
games come from behind, it kind of dumbfounded me, and I didn't really understand it.
Yeah. I mean, I would have understood if they made put him at four and they voted on this, like, right when the regular season ended. But since you just told me that, it's kind of shocking to see that he was not number one.
Right.
I don't know.
There's another problem I have with this, and that's that Christian McCaffrey is not in the top five players.
I agree.
What? The dude is doing things that no other running back has done before.
He's catching.
Downplay that.
He's receiving. Right. I mean, he's at least the number one in his position. Like,
yes,
if he wasn't number one,
at least
we'd
have
a bigger
third.
Problem.
At least yes. He's not third.
I mean, I think that him and Michael Thomas could be interchangeable at 6 and 5.
I think that's fair.
That's what I kind of have.
So let me hear your top 10.
Okay, so I'm gonna go 10 through 1. 10, I got George Kittle.
Wow.
9, Derrick Henry. 8, DeAndre Hopkins. 7, Stephon Gilmore. 6, Michael Thomas. 5, Christian McCaffrey. 4, Russell Wilson. 3, Aaron Donald. 2, Lamar Jackson. And 1, Patrick Mahomes.
Wow. Okay. Mine's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little. So I have at number 1, I have Patrick Mahomes. You know, obviously, best player in the league.
Yes.
Honestly, and the people that say he's a systems quarterback, whatever, he's been put in a really great system with Andy Reid, shut up. Are you serious? Alex Smith was in the same system for almost an entire decade, never got close to the Super Bowl, never got close to an MVP. That's called talent right there.
I agree.
Number 2, I have Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, I mean, it's not fair to say that he is –
I feel like he will be.
It's not fair to take him and be like, well, he's not number one, and he's definitely not in the top 10, because he's definitely one of the best players in the league.
He's number two. He's a dual threat, too. So.
Right. He's dual threat. He's doing things that, you know, we've never seen quarterbacks do in the NFL. We've seen it happen in college a lot, but we've never really seen it too much.
Like, he kind of, like, he brought the college game to the NFL. Like, right. He just, like, changed his game, and he, like, made the game change to what he wants and what he's capable of doing, which is very, like, out of his, like, maybe this is his second year as a – his first year as a starter, I think, right?
His first year as a starter, he didn't even start all the games.
Well, yeah, so this would be his first full year as a starter.
First full season, and he won the MVP. Yeah.
And he just kind of, like, brought his system into the NFL, which is very, like, hard to see off of, almost a rookie pretty much.
Yeah.
Keep going.
But, you know, it's not fair to say that, you know, Lamar Jackson isn't good. He's number 2. Mm-hmm. Number 3, I have Aaron Donald. I think Aaron Donald is good where he's at. Number 3, he's kind of, you know, in the middle of that top 5.
Yeah.
Number 4, I have Christian McCaffrey.
Mm.
I have Christian McCaffrey pretty high because, like I said, he's getting the big payday. He's doing the things that no one is seeing done before. I watched one game. I think it was against the Jaguars. He was just unreal. The guy is one of the most shifty running backs I think I've ever seen. And he completely dominates at every facet of the game for running back. He single-handedly won all the Panthers games last year because, you know, no one else was pulling their weight. Mm-hmm. So I have him at number four. Number five, Russell Wilson. I don't think it's fair to drop Russell Wilson out of the top five, but I don't think it's also fair to put him ahead of Patrick Mahomes or have him at second best. Because, you know, I look at it, he's done amazing things for Seattle. And he's, you know, kind of brought them back because I know they were a middle of the pack. They were kind of mediocre. They were 8-8 for a while because he has that giant contract. But, you know, he brought them back this year, had some amazing moments. I keep him at number five. Derrick Henry at number six.
Wow.
You want to talk about a dude who literally took the team, put it on his back, and then just ran through every team that he saw except the Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
His postseason run last year was unreal.
I feel like if he had a quarterback.
It was actually, the Colts did not allow a 100-yard rusher for, like, almost the entire season last year. The only 100-yard rusher they let was Derrick Henry. That was the only player. And the Colts played Christian McCaffrey. They played the Panthers. So that kind of shows you this guy's got work. And he's just a beast. I mean, you saw the workout video that he had. He's a beast. He's a freak of nature. You don't see guys that large at that running back position with that type of speed. Making Earl Thomas look like a joke.
Like a doll.
Right. And then what he did for them in that Ravens game, because everybody went in thinking the Titans, well, they just beat, you know, he carried the load against the Patriots. So now they're coming in. They got to play the Ravens. The Ravens are the best team in the AFC. Everybody was thinking, oh, the Ravens are going to get them. And Derrick Henry just totally just took him and just ran through their face. And really ruined what was arguably one of the better defenses of last year. He really, really did some work there. And then, of course, his great showing. He still had a great showing against the Chiefs, even though they lost that game. He was the one reason why people were like, the Titans might go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They were one game away. So I have Derrick Henry at number six because of all he did. You want to talk about the most valuable player to his team other than Patrick Mahomes and Christian McCaffrey? I think Derrick Henry is next.
Yeah.
Michael Thomas at number seven. Michael Thomas has done a lot of chirping on Twitter, and I'm not really a fan of it, but you can't ignore what he's done on the field. The guy is simply the best wide receiver in the league. He is.
Yeah.
He's the best. It's hard to deny it. George Kittle at number eight. I think he was supposed to be the replacement for Gronk, and now Gronk is back. So we're going to see what happens there. But George Kittle is just – I mean, I watched – you remember the Saints game?
And
he rattled off. It was dire straits. They needed a big play to get to field goal range. And you're thinking, well, they might take a couple dink and dunk plays. They dinked it down to George Kittle, but he didn't dunk. He just – went all the way down and carried two defensive backs about 10 yards, right? The guy is strong. He's big. He can beat you in almost any matchup. He had a great showing in the Super Bowl. I think it's fair to put him at number eight. Number nine, DeAndre Hopkins. You know, like I said, second best receiver in the league. And arguably one of the best.
I agree.
And, you know, that big trade now to give him to Kyler Murray, we'll see how that works out. Let's see if his production goes down. In my opinion, he's going from a top-tier quarterback in the league to a guy that, granted, did very well last year, but we don't really know how well he's going to do this year. He's got some new toys, so it should be better for him. And number 10, I have an interchangeable. So these guys can be interchangeable. Stephon Gilmore and Julio Jones are kind of like both at that number 10 mark. You know, we know how great Stephon Gilmore is. But down that stretch with the Patriots team, he really didn't look too great. Mm-hmm. But still, top 10, the best cover corner in the league.
Yeah, for sure. When they played the Cowboys, he was insane. He locked down Amari Cooper, and it was kind of frustrating to watch because he makes like teams just frustrated because you can't pass it to your best player anymore.
Yeah,
well, your best wide receiver because he's just locking him down.
Right. So that was the big thing for me. I don't understand how I still am a little dumbfounded that Patrick Mahomes by the peers is the number 3 player at his position.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about.
Right. That doesn't really make much sense to me. But I think Derrick Henry, another thing I took away from this, Derrick Henry did not get as much respected as he deserve at number 10.
I agree.
He should be up a lot of spots, and I think Christian McCaffrey has to be higher. I took Michael Thomas down a little bit, but I think he's okay at number 7 because I rank these based on, you know, kind of when I look at an MVP award, I don't think I look at it as the same as everyone else does. I look at it as what it is. Most.
So, who do you think would have won the MVP? Who do you, in your opinion, would have won the MVP this year?
Would have won the MVP this year?
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson won it. Who's going to win it this year?
No. Do you agree with that? Do you agree that Lamar Jackson should have won that?
Oh! Who is the most valuable to their team? Based on that logic, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because we saw what that kind of basically, other than Hollywood Brown, Mark Ingram was a big pickup. But other than that, you know, you kind of have the same team.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he got a lot of weapons and it was very, very helpful. And obviously he was the most valuable player. So, but I look at it as that way, which is why when I see things like James Harden getting the MVP in 2018 and LeBron not, I'm looking at that and I'm saying, hold on a minute. We're looking at the most valuable player here. Mm-hmm. Who is the most valuable to their team? And I think Derrick Henry has to be a lot higher.
Yeah. Well, he also, like, he just didn't have – he had to, like, carry, like, at least, like, 20 times plus every single game because, I mean, like, Ryan Tannehill is just, like – he's just, like – I wouldn't really put him out of – as an average quarterback.
You put him lower than average?
He's average or below, just a little below average. I mean, he's not like... Really? I mean, he wouldn't be in my top half of quarterbacks. Like, of the NFL, he would not be in there.
I think, going back to systems, I think Ryan Tannehill found his if you want to say, system...
because they're just going to run the ball.
I think he found his system, which is a heavy run game.
Because he can't throw. He can barely throw.
He made some good throws down the stretch.
He did.
I think you're right. He is an average quarterback.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel like if we're looking at, like, who is the most valuable, Derrick Henry would be probably if second, probably. In my opinion, is even though they had like they had a 9-7 season, they still like he carried them to that 9-7 season. Right. Like, there's no way
without Derrick Henry, the Titans would be probably bottom of the league.
Oh, for sure. And they have a pretty good defense though too. So, but they'd still you need an offense to score points. I also think that. Let's see here. Christian McCaffrey would be like 3, even though like he's not on the best team, which I think that's what it is now at this point a lot of the times is like who is the best player on the best team. Because like I think that's what they're gonna do with the NBA. They're gonna give it to Giannis. But no disrespect on him. He is a really talented player and everything, but I don't know, I feel like LeBron should get it just because he's the best on their team. Well, besides AD right now, but
see, we're getting back into the NBA. I don't agree with that. I think Giannis is the most valuable player to his team. I think he is more valuable to the Bucks than LeBron is to the Lakers. I think if Giannis left the Bucks right now, you would see a total collapse in that organization, kind of what you saw with Cleveland. That being said, I think
Giannis has played very well.
Who has played better this season? I think LeBron, when you take into the account of the fact that how much older LeBron is mm-hmm. and how he's playing in the Western Conference, which everybody says is a much stronger
It's also much faster pace.
Yeah, is much stronger than the East. Mm-hmm. I think LeBron has played better, but depending on who has played more valuable to their team, I think Giannis has.
All right. I would put it up for grabs for either of them.
It is up for grabs, really.
But... I love Giannis. Like, he's one of my favorite players in the NBA right now, but I don't know. I also think that if you give Giannis the MVP, then why didn't you give LeBron the MVP a couple times when he was in Cleveland, especially in 2018?
Oh, my gosh.
Because you saw that when he left, the whole team collapsed. So, like, exactly. He was definitely the most valuable player.
Right, which is why I look back at that 2018 season and I'm like, hold the phone. How did LeBron James not get the MVP in 2018? It is dumbfounding to me. And literally, if you look at it, he was better than James Harden in about every facet of the game.
Except for scoring,
because that's James's thing.
Yeah.
But LeBron should have won in 2018. He got cheated out of it, but it's fine.
It is what it is. All right.
So, but we're out of NFL going back into NBA, but let's move on.
Move on to the MLB. It's very interesting because to see how they're doing this with the COVID thing going on. I'll bring it back to the NBA. The NBA and NHL, they're doing a bubble like thing. So it's like you're kind of just in a selective area with just the players and the coaches and this like coaching staff and stuff like that. So I think that's the like a great way to do it because you're limiting, no one's getting in, only certain people are getting out, people if it's a family emergency are getting out. I mean, it's an emergency at a Wingstop, I guess, but we won't talk about that. They're quarantine when if you ever like go out for a family issue, when you come back you have to quarantine, and so it just limits like how it gets in or out of the place. And that's genius. I think that is like how everybody should do it. NHL is doing it. And you see this. None of those, they've been in there for a month.
They got in there early July, right?
So about a month, yeah. So about a month. No cases right now. So being within a month. MLB, there was
MLB 13 cases. Had to cancel 13, three series.
Yeah, 13 series. Cases on one team in the last week. 13. Because they're traveling, they're going to each and every stadium, they're interacting with people. I don't think they're taking it as serious as the NBA and NHL are. Right. I feel like they're trying to, but like when you see like someone hit a walk-off home run, and everybody's coming in and crowding, dumping water on people and stuff like that. I feel like let's not do that. You're trying to like have a season, aren't you? I just feel like it's kind of falling off the rails here. And one of the whole president of the MLB was like saying like, guys, like we can't just keep canceling or postponing series. If this keeps happening, we're going to shut the whole league down and shut the season down. I think that's might be where they're going to head to if it keeps happening. And they should, because they should – it would be hard to play in the bubble because you're not doing it as a playoff yet. But I feel like you should at least have, like, maybe – how many teams are in the MLB? 30?
I would
we'll
assume
say, we'll say 30. We'll say 30. Just saying for, like, numbers-wise. So that would be about like 15 teams each we could do three places, like have one out west, have one in the Midwest, and then have one out east. And those would be like little bubble stations, like what the NHL is doing with their Eastern Conference bubble. That would work, and just have the games are really long, so like that might be a factor, but like that would only be three games a day. You start at 12, then at 4, and then at like 9 or something like that. Especially in the Western Conference, you can start them later. Or Western out west. I feel like if they do that, you'll see the cases start to go down, and then it would be better. And then once you get into like the playoffs after the 60 games, then you're like limited down to maybe 3, and then after that you go to 2 and then 1. What are your thoughts on that?
So what are my thoughts on your plan?
No, just the MLB in general.
Here's my thoughts on the MLB, and I kind of have a soapbox that I'm trying to get on, but you have 6 series that have been postponed. You already shortened your regular season. You have to look at this, and I think you did the same thing. You did the right thing. You have to look at this and say, okay, the NBA hasn't had this problem, and the NHL up to this point have not had this problem. What are we doing wrong? And you're right. It's more of a bubble situation. You're not containing this as well. Baseball is a dying sport. They understand this, right? Baseball is losing and losing ground. And people say it's America's pastime. Yes, it's America's past time. That's the point.
Yes.
It shouldn't be, the NBA is not America's pastime. The NFL isn't America's pastime. The NHL hasn't had a time,
but they're
getting more popular, at least here in Columbus. The Blue Jackets are getting a lot more popular than they were when they began and when they started. So you already have 6 series that you have closed off, 3 or 4 game series, home and homes.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing differently? And on that idea of what do we need to do better as an organization, you have to look at this always. Okay, we are a dying organization. We're a dying sport. Not many people are tuning in because it's a slow sport. It's slow.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people love the NBA and the NHL, because it's back and forth. It's constant. It's fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's fast paced. Everybody loves it. So you already have that. You can't change that about baseball. That's just how it is. What can you do? Well, if you start losing people watching these games on the television, you don't have as much revenue coming in. Less and less people are going to look at this. And also, you have a certain sense of you're not getting any revenue. You're not getting any eyes watching. And you want to know what's very sad about Major League Baseball right now. They had a prime opportunity to soak in some fame. They had a prime opportunity to get some amazing publicity, and they just pissed everyone off.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of transitioning into a different topic with baseball right now.
That's
because
okay.
Joe Kelly had an amazing moment where Everybody knows the whole Houston Astros situation. Okay, they cheated to get to the to the World Series. They cheated. Everybody knows it. Everybody hates them for it. Everybody's angry about it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I get it. Joe Kelly comes out, you know, throws a couple pitches. One almost hits this Garrett Cole.
No, not and Garrett then, Cole.
Huh?
It wasn't Garrett Cole's a pitcher.
Who was it?
Correa.
Yeah, Correa. That's right. My bad.
You're fine.
So he does all this. He gets this big mantra, and everybody's like, who's this guy? Right? Yeah. Everybody who doesn't watch baseball is like, oh, this is awesome. Because yeah, everybody's like, heard the Houston Astros cheated. So they're looking at it now and they're like, oh, this is great. I love this. Like... this is awesome. And they go and they suspend him.
Yeah, that's just
funny. And now everybody's looking at this and they're like, wow, that was a cool 24 hours of baseball.
And then you suspend him.
Everybody's like, now Joe Kelly's my favorite player. Oh, looks like my favorite player just got suspended.
Yeah.
Why?
When that happens, no one wants to watch it anymore. And right. Like, and it's like, if you're going to suspend Joe Kelly for just trash talking him, because that's all he did, because he didn't hit him or anything. He just trash talked him after he struck him out. He just, right. That's all he did. But like, you don't, first of all, you don't suspend the people who hit the Astros players on purpose, and everybody knows that. You don't suspend them. You don't suspend the Astros for
exactly.
Cheating. You're going to suspend the player who's trying to be, like, I guess the middleman in this position, being, like, trying to be, like, a hero and trying to, like, make fun of these guys, which that's all they're everybody's just trying to do is make a joke out of them, because that's what they are for cheating. You don't need – if you have those three guys who, like – are like the big three of basketball, but they're in baseball. You don't need to cheat to win. That's right. The whole point. They're just clowning them, and like he gets suspended. And I was just like, I looked at it. And I was like, first of all, 8 games. What the heck? That is like that's like 8 out of 60 games. That's like most of this. Like this. Like that's too much. First of all,
right.
That's like a big chunk of the season. I mean, he's a reliever. But like, still, I just
relief pitchers are pretty important in baseball.
Yes, no, I agree. I agree. I'm just saying it's just unacceptable by the baseball, even though
here's the problem. Well, here's the problem that the MLB ran into. What Joe Kelly did, I mean, although I liked it and I thought it was pretty hilarious, was a little childish. Granted that.
So is cheating.
I'm getting there. Let me get to it.
Okay.
But you're sitting here. He's going to serve more punishment than the guys who cheated. That's what really gets me. If they would have suspended the Astros and kind of the Astros would have gotten some sort of punishment from this,
maybe
I
like,
would have been like, that makes sense. It's cool. I understand. It makes sense for you to suspend him because at the end of the day, it is a problem because that's just, I mean,
okay,
that's
but like,
not how it really should have been. But you're going to suspend him and you're going to punish him more than the guys who freaking cheated. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Well, here, let me put this in a situation for you here. So we'll say that, okay, so the Rockets are playing another team. And you just – and the James Harden hits a 3 and turns around and starts, like, trash-talking the bench. He's not going to get suspended. So why did Joe Kelly get suspended? Was it because he threw the ball behind his head, missed him, didn't hit his head? Then because if he hit – if he would have – if they would have had a problem with it, they would have ejected him right when he threw the ball. But since he didn't, there was no really problem. And then he strikes him out, says some profanities, and then starts, like, maybe, like, trash-talking him. But no racial profanities, let me just tell you that. He just says, nice swing, and then you fill in the word. So, like, I don't understand. Because you could say that for, like, anything. Like, a golfer could literally say, nice swing, and then he wouldn't get suspended. Maybe he would. It's a classier sport. But I feel like if you said that to, like, if James Harden, like, airballed a three, and Giannis was like, ha, nice shot, and then made, like, a funny face at him, he's not going to get suspended. He's just going to be like, you know, nothing's going to happen. It's just going to keep – they're going to keep going on. But I don't understand why they kind of got so defensive by the Astros. They defended the Astros. People wanted them not to defend the Astros. And I think that's why it's such a huge problem, is because they defended the Astros in that situation.
Right. So, well, there was like a little bit of a scuffle, right?
They kind of came out of the benches, but nothing really happened because they weren't allowed to come within a certain distance of each other. So right. Nothing really happened.
That's the only thing you could get him for, was trying to incite a fight. But that's the only thing you could get him for. Pandemic time where fights cannot happen by any means necessary. That's the only thing you can get him for. I'm agreeing with you. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's the only thing you could probably get Joe Kelly for, is trying to incite in a fight. Because he wouldn't have said that to him if he wasn't trying to get under his skin or make him angry. He wouldn't have said
that. But you're supposed – that's like he wanted to get under his skin and get him angry because, like, he was probably upset. I'm pretty sure the Dodgers were in the World Series, though, with the –
No, they weren't in the World Series. They were in the I think it's the ALCS.
No, they weren't, because that's like they were both in two different conferences. I would say that because the Astros are in the.
They didn't have anything because the Nationals were the team they played in the World Series
this year.
Yeah,
they lost this year. It was when they won.
See, this is how much we don't know about baseball.
I mean, for real. I think it was in 2017. They played the Los Angeles Dodgers, and they won 4-3. They won, like, the series 4-3. So that's where you see these – he's trying to get under his skin, because he's probably upset that they cheated their way, and they probably should have won the World Series instead of Houston.
I don't think Joe Kelly was on that team at the time.
It honestly doesn't matter.
It really doesn't.
Because, like, he was probably on a different team. He might have been on the Yankees. And they played in the conference finals when Altuve hit that home run over on Severino, and he wouldn't let anybody take off his shirt because he had something under it.
Right.
You know,
it just baffles me, man. The thing is, like I said, baseball is not okay right now. They need more publicity, and you have a prime moment to get some more publicity for people to come watch, to get interested and say, oh, I want to see this happen. You know, you hope that people aren't watching to see guys get hit by pitches. But
I mean,
to be honest, when they're cheaters, that's what people want to see. They want to see that happen. That's how you can get more people to watch baseball, to make the game more exciting itself. And you kind of botch that moment with what the MLB did.
Yeah, and I think that they're just – if I wouldn't say they're going to go under, because they're not going to go under. If they can't. They can't turn things around with this pandemic and they end up shutting down. They'll be back next year.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And hopefully they have
the MLB and
COVID. Hopefully the virus is gone by then, but I don't see that happening. But just they need to like kind of stop worrying about everything. That's the thing. They need to stop worrying about that scandal with Joe Kelly and maybe start worrying and figuring out other ways to get baseball back. Especially like when you have like series being canceled, you need to get it back. So like if you were to stop worrying about that and started worrying about like maybe how things you can change things. So like maybe it's a bubble situation or something else, then you wouldn't have this problem and we wouldn't be talking about shutting the league down. I mean, I don't know. It's all very wild.
Yeah.
All right.
Real.
Yeah. All right. So
thanks
that
for
was
joining
our,
us, everyone.
Yeah, thank you. That was our 45 to 50 minutes of our just blah, blah, blah. Sports talk that we call that. Good having you as always, Ethan.
Yeah.
Season 2.
Get some
first
more
episode
going.
In the books. We'll get some more. I mean, I'm loving the sports beating back right now.
Right.
I can just tune in. I'm watching the Jackets game in about 2 hours. Can't wait for that.
Add more on that.
Watch that and then go switch right back over to like freaking Bucks game, something like that. Oh, it's fantastic. Love this coming back to sports because it just makes the whole, I feel like it makes my world, especially my world, just more, you know, natural feeling now. Even though there's no crowd, I mean, I would never be in the crowd anyway at one of those games, except for maybe Ohio State game, but they're not back yet. So I feel like just watching it on TV just makes me feel a little bit more like whole in this situation right now, if you know right. what I'm saying. Because like when they weren't there, I would have so much free time. I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
You'd make a podcast about sports.
I mean, yeah, but since like nothing was going on, we had to kind of stop. And that was a bummer for me because I really enjoyed doing it. So I'm glad we're back. Glad sports is back. And that's all I got.
That's all you got. Well, that's all I got. Thank you, everyone. Please stay healthy. Please stay safe. Safe. We love you. And we are extremely happy sports is back.
All right. Talk to you later, bud.
See ya.
Bye.